15, 1 Corinthians chapter 15. I'm glad we got a pastor to give me the opportunity. Amen. And I have a little more time to study for my messages now. So it's a privilege to be on staff, but it's just a privilege to be a member of this church. You know, if I wasn't on staff, I'd be the member of the church of this church anyway. It's a great church. We got great leadership in Brother Crawford and in his family, and I certainly appreciate him. And Brother Crawford's been faithful, and he loves this church. He loves you, without a shadow of a doubt. And trust me, I see him every day of the week. There's not a day I don't see him. Trust me. If we're off, we're still together for some reason. And he's always going to great lengths to take care of you as church members. And that speaks highly, so I appreciate our pastor. 1 Corinthians chapter 15, verse 13. 1 Corinthians chapter 15 and verse 13. Verse 13 says, "But if there be no resurrection of the dead, then is Christ not risen. And if Christ be not risen, then is our preaching vain, and your faith is also vain. Yea, and we are found false witnesses of God, because we have testified of God that He raised up Christ, whom He raised not up. If so be that the dead rise not, for if the dead rise not, then is not Christ raised. And if Christ be not raised, amen. Your faith is vain, yet ye are yet in your sins. Then they also which are fallen asleep in Christ are perished." Verse 19. "If in this life only we have hope in Christ, we are of all men most miserable." I'll preach tonight on the subject of miserable men. Miserable men. In the place, the city of Corinth, if you go back to Acts chapter 17 and Acts chapter 18, you'll see where Paul travels to Corinth and where he travels to Athens. And Athens and Corinth are kind of a Greek cities, predominantly of Greek philosophy. And of course, you know, the Greeks are very proud of their philosophy and their learning and their knowledge. But it is not a scriptural knowledge. It is not a knowledge of God. And it is said that in the city of Corinth and in Athens, and we'll see this here in a minute, I'll give you some scripture, that the Greeks did not believe in the resurrection. That they did not believe that Jesus Christ bodily rose from the grave. But we know that Paul preached unto them the resurrection. I give you these verses very quickly in Acts chapter 17, verse 31. Now, he's in Athens at this part. Now, Athens and Greece, or Athens and Corinth are close in vicinity. But it says this, "Because he hath appointed a day in the which he will judge the world in righteousness by that man whom he hath ordained, whereof he hath given assurance unto all men, in that he raised him from the dead." Now verse 32 says, "And when they heard of the resurrection of the dead," kind of sounds like today's world, wait for it, "some mocked." Some mocked, and others said, "We will hear thee again of this matter," saying, "Look, we're going to talk about this later. Because we don't preach that way here in our town. Because, hey, listen, America's getting about as bad where they think our Savior's not risen." I was reading an article, and it said this, that if Christ is dead and not risen, then why all the fuss about Him? But the world is scared of Jesus. Because deep down in their heart, they know He's risen, and they know that He's coming again. Now, the Greeks were miserable men. They were miserable because they believed in a dead God. They believed in a buried God. But I want to tell you today, I'm not miserable because I have hope. There's another group of people in our Bible. They are called the Sadducees. And you've heard this from Brother Crawford and other people. They didn't believe in the resurrection. That's why they were sad, you see, right? But the Sadducees did not believe in the resurrection. In the book of Acts, chapter 23, verse 8, the Bible says, "For the Sadducees say there is no resurrection, nor angels, nor spirit, but the Pharisees confess both. Now, here it is that the Sadducees believe not in the resurrection. They're miserable men. You know what? You can have all the world's religion. You can believe in the cross. But listen, if Christ be not risen, we are of all men most miserable. You ever met miserable people in your life? If you haven't, just go out of your house. Or just stay in your house. There's probably somebody there you'll meet. But Sadducees were miserable men. Can I say even in America today, people who do not know Jesus Christ as their personal Savior, they are miserable men. Can you imagine tonight if Christ be not risen? How miserable we would be, because you know what? Miss Liz, the only hope I have is Jesus Christ. The only hope I have, Brother Tim, is in Jesus Christ, that He is risen and that He's coming again. People are miserable today. Men are miserable today because they believe in dead gods. Can you believe the Buddhists? Can you believe in the Mormons and the Jehovah's Witnesses? They're miserable deep down inside of their heart. Can you imagine rubbing the belly of a fat man? We'll stay away from that one. An idol, not me. Can you imagine walking up to some idol? You know, it said this. I heard a missionary, I forgot who it was. I almost want to say it was Brother Ashcraft. But he said down in Mexico they had a 57 Chevy. Amen. Hallelujah. Brother Crawford, amen that. Had a 57 Chevy with a Coke bottle set on top of it. And it was said that millions of people would come by that every year and put flowers and worship that as a god. Now that sounds like miserable people that are looking for something to worship Him, but down in their heart, they are miserable. But I like this. Look at, if you will, verses 14 through 18 again, and notice what Christ says, and I'll point some of these things out. Notice what He says, if Christ be not risen, verse 14, He said, then our preaching is vain. Why is it vain? Because we have no message. We have no Savior. We have no redemption. We have no hope. We have no song to sing. We might as well get rid of the piano and the mics and the pulpit and our Bible. If Jesus be not risen, our preaching is in vain. I remember preaching one time, and lady got up and got mad. Left. I was preaching on death. And she said that I, basically in a roundabout way, after we chased her down and figured out what's wrong with her, she said, I don't like to hear about death. She said, I'm scared to death of death. I said, ma'am, are you saved? She said, well, I don't know. There you go. She's miserable. Why? Because she hasn't met our risen Savior. She hasn't met Him. And listen, I know the preaching is not vain. I know that it's not. But if Christ be not risen, then if I preach to that woman or if I preach to that young man, listen, our preaching is in vain. Notice what else He says. He said, your faith is also in vain. You know what? If you're a Christian, the Bible says, for faith comes by hearing, hearing by the Word of God. That's where our faith comes from. But you know, if Christ be not risen, what are you going to put your faith in? My faith is in Jesus Christ. And if He's not real, if He's not risen, then I have nothing to hope in. I have nothing to put my faith in. Notice what else He says. He says in verse 15, He says, yea, we are found false witnesses of God. He said, basically, we're liars. If Christ be not risen from the dead, He said, you're liars. You know, first one thing I always hated growing up in high school, somebody called me a liar. You might as well talk about my mama. Hey, amen. I couldn't stand to be called a liar. And you know what? I know if I preach this right here, I'm not a liar. Because Bible is truth and God is truth. Notice what else He says. He says, boy, look at this one. In verse 17, it says, and if Christ be not raised, your faith is vain. He says it again twice. But notice this, ye are yet in your sins. For the wages of sin is what? Death. So in other words, all we got is death. We just going to live this life, die, and that's it. You ever met those people that believe that? They say, why do you go to church and waste your time? I met a man one time, and he was an atheist. He said, he was talking about church. He said, I don't know why you waste your time. He said, your God's not real. He says, we're just going to live this life, and then we're going to die. I said, sir, can I just have a moment of your time? He said, yes. I said, just for a moment, think that I'm right and you're wrong. He said, well, I never thought about that. I said, but let me say it this way. If you're right and I'm wrong, I haven't lost nothing. But if I'm right and you're wrong, you're going to lose everything. Man, that man's, I'm telling you, his countenance changed. Was able to leave him a track. And I hope to God that he got saved down the road. But listen, Christ, if he's not risen from the dead, then we are in our sin. And we are of all men most miserable. But you know what? Look at verse 19 again. He says that in this life, only we have hope in Christ. We are of all men most miserable. Out of everybody, we are the miserable people if Christ be not risen. But I'm going to tell you, there's verse 20. But now, Paul says, now listen, I told you that to say this. But now, is. I like Paul. He's definite, ain't he? He said, but now is Christ risen from the dead and become the first fruits of them which sleep. In other words, Paul just stood up in the middle of it and said, listen, y'all quit your whining and belly aching and all of that. He said, Jesus is alive. He's sitting at the right hand of God on high. He said, He is risen today. Can you imagine the crowd when Paul was going, now if Christ be not risen, they're like, ooh. Now you got to remember, these are Greek people, predominantly Greek people. They were raised to not believe in the resurrection. So whenever they got saved, that was great faith that they placed in Paul's preaching and the preaching of the Word of God. And when they trusted in Jesus Christ, hey, they had never heard there was a resurrection. And all of a sudden, Paul preaches unto them. And churches begin to pop up and people begin to get saved. And now Paul comes back to them and says, now wait a minute, what if Christ not be risen? He's like, whoa, wait a minute. But you know what? I'm glad verse 20 is in our Bible. And I'm glad tonight we are not miserable men. I'm glad tonight we're not miserable women and miserable children. We're not miserable people tonight. Why? Because Jesus is alive and Jesus has risen from the dead. You know what I like too? Job even believed in the resurrection. I'll read this for you. Job 19, verse 25 through 27 says, "For I know that my Redeemer liveth, and that he shall stand at the latter day upon the earth. And though after my skin worms destroy this body, yet in my flesh shall I see God." Oldest book in the Bible. And he says, yet whenever the worms are eating this flesh, he said, in my flesh I shall see God, whom I shall see for myself, and mine eyes shall behold, and not another, though my reins be consumed within me. Basically, he says, you know what? I lost everything, but that's all right. Go ahead and take my life. I'll just graduate. Listen to me tonight. That Jesus is risen. Look back at verse 20. We'll read down a couple of verses there. It says, but now is Christ risen from the dead and become the first fruits of them that slept. In other words, Jesus set the example of what's going to happen to us. We're going to rise one day. Notice what he says. For since man, by man, Pastor preached on this morning, for since by man came death, by man came also the resurrection of the dead. For as in Adam, or in the flesh, all die, even so in Christ shall all be made alive. In other words, if you're in Jesus Christ, you will never die. I like that. You know, to be absent from the body is to be present with the Lord. To close your eyes means to open your eyes to Christ. Let me give you three things tonight and I'm done. And we're going to hit them and breeze through them. Number one, I want to give you this because we're not miserable. I'm not miserable. I feel miserable sometimes, body-wise, especially when you get sunburned. Have you ever had a sickness? I had the flu for the first time this year in a long time. And I'm going to tell you what, I felt miserable. But you know what? In my spirit, I don't believe at one time I've ever felt miserable. Why? Because whenever I, even physically, sometimes when I'm ailing or I'm sick or things are not going my way, my spirit rises up in me and says, listen, you have a hope because Jesus is our hope. Three things this morning, tonight. Number one, there is a risen Savior. Very, very simple. There is a risen Savior. But notice verse 20, he says, but now is Christ risen from the dead. He's alive no matter what the world says. By the way, the world doesn't change God's effectiveness and it doesn't change God's deity. If the world says there's no resurrection, it's not like God goes, oh, okay, well, we can't have a resurrection. It's like the world don't believe in the rapture. It's not going to stop God from coming back. God's not going to go, well, I go back, but half of them don't believe. No, it's already pre-planned. Amen. It's already pre-promised that He's coming back. And can I tell you, tonight I serve a risen Savior. There is a risen Savior. Number two, Pastor sung about it. There is a redemption supply. Aren't you glad tonight that Jesus Christ, when He arose from the grave, the death, the burial, the sinless life He lived, and matter of fact, if you go back to the first part of chapter 15, the Bible says, moreover, brethren, I declare unto you the gospel, which I have preached unto you, which also ye have received, and wherein ye stand, by which also ye are saved, if ye keep in memory that what I have preached unto you, unless ye believe in vain. Now notice verse 3 through verse 5. Verse 4. He gives the gospel. He says, for I delivered unto you first of all that which I also received. How that Christ died for our sins according to the Scripture, and He was buried, and that He rose the third day according to the Scripture. Paul said, this is what the Word says. This is what the Bible says. You think what Scripture he's talking about? He's not talking about the New Testament. He's talking about the Old Testament said He's going to rise on the third day, that He was going to be buried, and that He was going to die according to the Scripture. Why did Jesus do all of this? So He could redeem us which were under the law. Through Jesus Christ rising on the third day, salvation's plan was finished. Exclamation point. Bam. Right in the devil's face. Amen. Dot the eye of the devil. Pow. Well, when that... You know what? Can you imagine? Now remember all that they went through. They sealed the tomb, remember? If that wasn't good enough, they put the soldiers outside. And by the way, these wasn't little girly soldiers with little toothpicks. I believe they had some big swords back then. I believe these were the best of the best. I believe as they chose these men, I believe they said, you know what? Give me the best because we're scared of this guy. I'm afraid that something's going to happen because I truly, somewhere in the back of my mind, think he is who he says he is. So y'all keep this tomb, but on that third day when the ground began to rumble and whenever the earthquake came and shook it and rolled the stone away. By the way, there's a whole message in rolling that stone away. If you go back to Exodus, what was the law written on? On the stones. And I believe that stone on the front of that tomb represented the law. Hey, listen to me. He could have destroyed that stone that was in front, but what did he do? He just rolled it away. Jesus didn't do away with the law. He just fulfilled it. He moved it out of the way so Christ could come forth. Oh, glory. Hallelujah. By the way, you ought to study the word stone in the Bible. It's always a picture of judgment. How do you think they used to kill people? They would stone them to death. Listen to me, the law was in our way. But Jesus came forth out of that tomb. By the way, I'm just giving you some fun facts. The day that the law was given, there was an earthquake on Mount Sinai. The day that the stone was rolled away, there was another earthquake. Amen. By the way, there's going to be one more earthquake. I believe when Jesus' feet touch the Mount of Olives, I believe when Jesus comes down and says He's going to split it wide open, I believe there's going to be another earth shaking. Amen? Listen to me tonight. The law's not in my way. I'm redeemed. Jesus fulfilled the law. Well, I got to give you this and I'm done. The last thing tonight, there's not only a risen Savior, there's not only a redemption supply, but there's a rapture coming soon. Amen? Coming soon to a place near you. Amen? Hey, listen, I'm not listening for some little horn to toot. I'm listening for a trumpet to sound. And I'm listening for the voice of the archangel to say, come up hither. Do, do, going to be a trumpet sound we're all going to recognize. It's going to be a voice that we're all going to recognize. The Bible said, my sheep know my voice. Hey, listen to me. The world's going to be going, well, the aliens came and got them. Amen. You say, but I believe in aliens. Well, you're non-biblical. The Bible says Eve is the mother of all living. Amen. There's nobody on Mars. Quit figuring it out. Amen. Just deal with your neighbor. Amen. We got some aliens here. Amen. We're aliens. We're just pilgrims passing through. Amen. Hey, listen to me tonight. Is that the rapture is coming soon. And I believe it could be even tonight, and that would be all right with me. All of my kids are saved and one safe. Amen. I'm ready if Jesus wants to come tonight. But listen, if Jesus would have never rose from the grave, then I would never rise from the grave. Can I give you one more thing? And I promise you I'm done. I like the end of 1 Corinthians chapter 15. Look, if you will, verse 51. I like this word, behold, I show you a mystery. In other words, if you show somebody a mystery, you're going to unveil it. You're going to reveal it to them, right? Now listen, here it is, kind of like I'm going to tell you a secret. Once I tell you the secret, it's no longer a secret, right? That's what Paul said. He said, behold, I show you a mystery. We shall not all sleep, but we shall all be changed. How are we going to do that if Christ is not risen? You know what? I paint pictures in my head whenever I read the Bible, and I have to. I just believe that Paul didn't get up there and said, behold, I show you a mystery. We shall not all sleep, but we shall all be changed. Let us sing Kumbaya. I believe Paul, with all expressions of self, I believe he said, now listen, guys. He says, behold, I'm going to show you a mystery. This is a good mystery. And he said, we shall. Now notice what he said. He said, we shall not all sleep, but we shall all be changed in a moment, in a twinkling of an eye, at the last trump. For the trump shall sound. I like that. Well, maybe it'll sound. I like Paul. He was a definite man. He knew what he believed in, and he just stuck with it. Amen. Now notice what he says. He says, at the last trump shall sound, and the dead shall be raised incorruptible, and we shall be changed. For this corruptible must put on incorruption, and this mortal shall put on immortality. For so when this corruptible shall have put on incorruption, and this mortal shall have put on immortality, then shall it be brought to pass the saying that is written, death is swallowed up in victory. In other words, death can't be found if you're a Christian. Because victory took it away. It's kind of like a bee. You take a bee and you take his stinger out, he dies. He's no longer a bee anymore. He's no longer a nuisance anymore. Hallelujah. I'll be glad when all mosquitoes are gone. Somebody say amen. Amen. I just added that in there. Now notice this. I love these scriptures. Verse 55 through 58 says, O death, where is thy sting? O grave, where is thy victory? The sting of death is sin, and the strength of sin is the law. But thanks be unto God, which giveth us the victory through our Lord Jesus Christ. Therefore, my beloved brethren, be ye steadfast, unmovable, always abounding in the work of the Lord, for as much as ye know that your labor is not in vain. You know, I was looking at the scripture tonight, and I was reading the one that says that if they which are fallen asleep in Christ are perished, if we have no hope, listen, here's what it is. If you fall asleep in Christ, that's it. But I'm telling you, there's a rapture coming soon. You're going to be changed. You say, well, preacher, I believe in the resurrection. Why are you preaching? Because sometimes we need to be reminded that we serve a risen Savior. And because He rose from the dead, if He tarries His coming, so will I. If He don't tarry His coming, I'm just going to skip the grave altogether. You know what? I'd love to go to the DMV and just be able to walk right up to the window and get my driver's license and walk out. Wouldn't you like to have a bypass? I remember one time somebody gave me a bypass at Six Flags. Now, I don't ride rides. But I did this day because somebody gave me one of them little pass things you go around the crowd with. I loved it. I like just skipping things. I'll be glad to skip the grave. And just go straight on up, amen? And that's okay, too. I'll take second place because you know why? The dead of Christ shall rise first, and we which are alive and remain which shall be caught up with them. Hey, listen, I'll go second because I am interested in seeing the graves burst open. We're going to be able to see that. Boom. Ow. You know what that's going to tell me, Brother Tracy? I'm going next.
I'm going next. Woo-hoo-hoo!
It's like being in line at the ice cream shop, amen? And the person in front of you gets their ice cream, you're like, woohoo, I'm next! Hallelujah! Thank God! This world is not my home, I'm just a passing through. My treasures are laid up somewhere beyond the blue. The angels beckon me from heaven's open door. Oh, I can't feel at home in this world anymore. One day we're going. And the only reason we're going is because Jesus is already gone. Tonight, you serve a risen Savior. Pastor.
Gave forth the Ten Commandments. He sounded them forth as a trumpet. That was God's voice.